Hello, Squawker Talker listeners, and welcome to a bit of bonus content for you this week. This podcast is going to be the Squawker Scout podcast, where we talk about the biggest transfer rumours in the football world this week and tell you everything you need to know about them. Who they are, their strengths and weaknesses, who wants to sign them, how much that will be, and where they'll fit in at their new sides. And joining me for the first episode of this new edition is Chief Writer at Squawker, Mohammed Butt. Mo, great to have you on.
Great to be here, Jake. Thank you. Let's talk about some players, mate. Well, one player.
One player and potentially others as a result of that. But yeah, these are going to try to be focused podcasts. So after listening, please let us know what you liked and what you didn't like about it. But for today's episode, it's going to be Chelsea's main target, it seems to be, in the transfer window. And that is Cagliari's Nicolò Barella. A £45 million target for Sarri, apparently. And it comes mainly after Fabregas moving to Monaco and the idea that Sarri is searching desperately for his Jorginho understudy. So the first question I want to ask you, Mo, about Barella is he a Jorginho understudy?
No.
Expand on that.
It's the funny thing, because obviously he's an Italian midfielder and he can pass the ball and everyone, so everyone assumes, oh, this is who they want to back up, replace Cesc Fabregas. But if you look at Barella, he's not that kind of player. He doesn't play the base midfield. He's not the guy, the link between, like Jorginho is. Yes, he can pass the ball, but that's not the function he would serve. That would be the player for that role is Leandro Paredes, who Chelsea have also been linked with.
That's another essentially £40 million deal.
Yeah, and that would be the Jorginho understudy, because that guy, if you've ever watched him play for first for Roma, now for Zenit and for Argentina, that guy is a Jorginho. He's an archetypal Argentine number five. Barella is much more offensively focused. Not that he isn't defending. He's a great defensive player. He's a great tackler of the ball. Where he plays in is the Kante understudy, but they don't really have a backup for Kante either when he's not playing at it. So that's where Barella plays in. He's the box to box infielder, the Allen/Kante type. You know, because you look at Jorginho is the base infield, the anchor, the passing player. Everything goes through him. Right, that was the same at Napoli. It's the same here. And then you want the box to midfielder, then you want the creative/goal-scoring midfielder, the third one. The third guy, that's still a work in progress. You know, the Chelsea are still trying to figure out who that is. Mason Mount, Ruben Loftus-Cheek are two good options they've got. They don't really want to take them. Mm. Whatever. That's Sarri's decision. Yeah. But you look where Barella fits in. It's perfectly as either Kante's understudy/replacement/ if we're playing a bit more of a defensive role against a really good team, maybe Kante plays and Barella both play either side of Jorginho and you have a bit more control.
And this is the thing as well, is Chelsea fans recently and sort of the general public have been not attacking Jorginho is the wrong word, but sort of been putting his performances under a microscope. And it's the sense that, yes, nearly 2,000 passes attempted in the Premier League this season, but then Edison has one more assist than him.
Which
I'm highlighting is, yes, that is a quick and easy analysis to do, but Jorginho was never signed to necessarily provide assists. No. And perhaps why Fabregas was not given a new contract. One, because of the age policy that Chelsea have, but also because Fabregas has never really been that number six. And yes, he can receive the ball in that area and was good at it. And in the Europa League, he was the Jorginho understudy, the most passes, but he also created the most chances. So now I think Sarri moving him on heavy-heartedly, yeah. Sarri had said that Fabregas is important. He's technically brilliant. He is our Jorginho understudy.
You wouldn't want to lose Fabregas if you
had him. Yeah. And he said, if we lose him, we need to go in the market. Barella looks like who they've identified as maybe a sort of fix-all for that, for the understudy. He would be Chelsea's ultimate understudy in the sense that, as you mentioned, he's made the most tackles of any under-23 player in Serie A this season with 49. And that's an important note in itself, actually. Sorry. Barella's 21 years old.
22 at the start of February, but still.
Yeah, so going into 22, you're bringing up the old Arsenal debate on Twitter there. 21 until he's 22. At the time of recording, he's 21 years old.
Yes.
Four caps for Italy. But quotes that I wanted to highlight from Sarri here about what you've just said.
Yeah.
He said earlier in the year, in December, so not earlier in the year, sorry, last year now, still in 2018 in my mind. He said that they have a lot of offensive midfielders. They have a lot of players that can potentially play this this Hamsik role that is bandied about. Ross Barkley's been there. Yeah. Loftus-Cheek, as you've mentioned, can play there. Kovacic has been the primary choice. But he said, we only have one Kante as a defensive midfielder. So he's finding it difficult to balance his midfield. Does Barella add this balance that Sarri would search for?
Yeah, because then he has two. He doesn't have to run Kante into the ground. And if, you know, if they're playing the Europa League, for instance, and they will be playing, this is the thing, they're playing very easy teams in the Europa League. They're going to play serious teams that they want to win the Europa League, and they clearly do want to win the Europa League. So, you know, Sarri has taken it seriously. So, you know, you want to win the Europa League, you can't play Kante Thursday, Sunday. He will break down. As amazing, as physically amazing as he is, he showed with Chelsea that even when it's a game every single 3 days, he can't play the whole season. He gets tired. Even he gets tired.
Well, so, he gets asked to do so much. Well, I don't think anyone expect him not to get tired.
Yeah, no, it's not a critical question.
No,
it's
I know.
The fact that he is mortal. He is as much as we would love him and would love him. You know, he is. So you need to have a backup. They need a workable backup. And, you know, even with Georgina, right? Cesc Fabregas was a workable backup. Kovacic, I think, would be a magnificent backup. We've said this before, I think. He's very well suited to being a backup. Very safe with the ball, good dribbling. They don't have anything like a workable backup for N'Golo Kante. They don't. But in Barella, they have a player who can fulfill the same role. A high-energy player, lots of tackles, lots of defensive contributions, but also the ability to carry the ball forward. And unlike Kante, loves a shot. Loves a crack from range.
Although I would say Kante was led Chelsea for shots, I think, in the recent Newcastle game, or was at least second.
Well, I mean,
so again, although maybe they weren't brilliant, he's showing, I think Kante is the best example of this Chelsea side that is someone that has been told to do something in this setup, and is the one that's fulfilling it in the best way, I think.
Yeah, to use American sports parlance, he's very coachable, Kante. You know, he did one thing at Leicester, then he did another thing under Kante, then he's doing another thing under Sarri. So, you know, and he's done all of them, all three things. Well, not so much yet, but the other two things, world-class level. And I would imagine, knowing Kante, he would do this Sarri role to world-class level as well.
Knowing best mates with Kante.
Well, I mean, I wish I was. Hey, look, you know what? If I tweeted him, if I lived near him, I probably could get him around for dinner. The kind of humble guy
he is. Well, he famously watched Match of the Day with us.
That's what I'm saying. If I gave him a tweet, I probably could just catch him, come around for dinner, you know. But look, he's a wonderful, wonderful player. And I think, this is not to say that Barella is going to displace him from the side or anything, but Barella gives Chelsea what they... I think if you had to pick something, a midfield balance... There is no player really at Chelsea that can play the attacking midfield role to a great high level, except maybe Loftus-Cheek. We're not even sure about that yet. So,
I was going to say, he hasn't been given the chance yet. Necessarily.
We're not really sure about that, but I would think if you were Sarri, right, he's been playing... I think Kovacic plays a lot because he wants to try and give them a little bit extra control, give Jorginho a bit more protection. But that has the byproduct of neutering the attack. Mm. Barella, if you look at him, is obviously more like Kante, dynamic. So if you play two of those kind of players, two Allens, if you will, either side of Jorginho, I think that gives them a lot more dynamism. Mm. And obviously it also does protect Jorginho more. And with Barella's ability to go forward, same as Kante, take shots, same as Kante is doing now. And also play long passes, but it doesn't, you know, likes a lofted pass. That will help. Mm. That will help greatly help Chelsea add some dynamism to their side.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. £45 million on a backup is a bit much. So I don't think necessarily Barella will be a backup. I think at least to begin with, he might even start. And you know, I mean, we talk about Sarri as a blueprint, but you know, he's also said, I'm not a dogmatist. I have to adapt to the players I have. And I think part of it is thinking, if you look at this Chelsea side, there isn't really, again, apart from Loftus-Cheek, again, who he doesn't seem overly keen on, there isn't really a Hamsik type, attacking midfielder. So maybe, and of course also the Premier League is a very, very, very physically demanding league. So not in terms of like power, just in terms of relentlessness, which is, that's the one thing it has over every other league. So maybe if he's looking at it, we're going to spend £45 million on this, on Barella. Maybe what he's looking at is thinking, okay, I need two Allens if I'm going to play in the Premier League. I need one either side of Jorginho, who of course, and then Paredes comes in as backup to Jorginho. So if you have, because Barella really can match what Kante brings, if not, and better in some aspects, because of course he's you know, more of a naturally offensive player.
Again, just looking at Barella's sort of again, very young, so it's hard to make a sweeping statement of what he will bring. He's got one goal in 18 games this season for Cagliari, obviously playing in a poorer side. Absolutely loves a yellow card. Picked up 13 last season, along with six goals, which was very much his breakthrough season.
And he loves to tackle. That's just
well. That's the thing. So in terms of what he's putting up on average in the games, is making 2.7 tackles per game, and being fouled at a similar rate at 2.6, 1.2 shots, 1.2 chances created. So he's, again, I think if we're trying to marry him into this Chelsea team and identify where he fits, it's very much, if Kante needs a rest, he's going to play there, because it's that sort of not dominating one metric in terms of output, but being able to contribute in every single phase, which is perhaps what that right-sided midfielder is asked to do most. Yeah. He's the everywhere man in Sarri's midfield. He needs to be arriving in the box late to sort of get around the fact that they're missing a centre-forward, especially now. But he also needs to be Jorginho's legs, who, by all accounts, who was impressive at the start, clearly is struggling a bit now with the intensity. And
also, there's no winter break. There's no winter break in England.
No winter break.
And it's the first season playing without a winter break, so he's probably like, what the hell is this? Because a lot of imports to the Premier League do struggle over winter, not just because of the relentlessness, but because there is no break. And it's not even like you need a massive one, just like a week or two off. But that's a big
break. And also, maybe not even resting, but changing within a game. Sarri is Jorginho... And Sarri is a relationship that he'll play him if he's there and he'll play. But I think the lack of a backup, or lack of someone that can at least do half of his job to sub on, Jorginho is very often not taken off. And it was in that recent game where Sarri identified as Jorginho to be the person struggling and said, I didn't have anyone to bring you on. So again, what we've said about Barella there is not being a direct Fabregas replacement. And perhaps being more suited to the Kante role. But it's clear that they've identified him as someone also that will be able to drop back should Jorginho need to go off.
Yeah, I mean, that's an option they would have. If like you're trying to see out the last 15 minutes of a game, or you've got, like, let's say you're winning 3-0, winning 2-0, and Jorginho could use a rest, then you can, without having to do a one-to-one sub with Paredes, if you let's say Paredes, you don't get him,
that's the point I was,
or you don't want to bring him on, or you've used up your other subs or whatever, then you can, if need be, you can move Paredes back. You cover. It's sort of like I look at Barella kind of like the way Barcelona use Ivan Rakitic, which is, okay, we have a hole here, can you do this? Yes. We have a hole here, can you do this? Yes. And wherever they sort of need him to play, he goes in, because he's such an intelligent player and such a sort of balanced all-around player, he can do that. And I think if you look at Barella, it's the same sort of thing. Very, very good. Like I said, there you could start him and Kante either side of Jorginho for a very dynamic experience. You could maybe for the last, against easy teams at home, you could play him instead of Jorginho, or last 20 minutes of games, you're winning or whatever, play him, give Jorginho a rest. So he can cover a lot of bases. His willingness to shoot at 21/22 years of age is something you can work with, because obviously he's only scored one goal this season, but he's in a Cagliari team where it's like he's one of the better players. So he's not going to be necessarily getting a lot of open looks, if you will. You put him in that Chelsea side with Eden Hazard, of all flipping people, creating chances. He'll get more open looks because everyone's going to gravitate to Hazard. People are going to go to Willian or Pedro. There's going to be a space for him to take a shot once Pulisic comes in, same sort of thing. So he's going to have more spaces to shoot. So maybe his willingness to shoot, his desire to shoot from range, that could result in more goals, could result in more goal threat. And then he starts pulling a marker to him, which means Hazard has one less guy on him. Hazard has more space to create.
And ideally for Chelsea fans, is Hazard goes back onto the left. And they sign Barella's. Unfortunately, Barella's not going to play up front.
That's one thing we need to clarify. They need Gonzalo Higuain,
don't they? But just going back on the Jorginho sort of substitutions and the games he's come off in is the 0-0 draw against Everton. He played 64 minutes and was removed. Obviously, they needed to try and advance themselves. Came off after 75 minutes against Leicester in the defeat just before Christmas. Came off after 78 minutes against Burnley, in which Chelsea were 4-0 up, so that doesn't really matter. So not hauled off that often, and perhaps the need for... The reason why Barella may cost 45 million and may be bought in now is that statistic in itself. Jorginho can control a game for 60 minutes, but if that hasn't resulted in a tangible lead, or he's not offering anything, then you need...
A bit more.
Sarri doesn't seem to... feel that he has a midfielder that can be trusted to slot in if the game's in a balance at number six, but also offer something different. For example, he's not used Kovacic there, no, who we've identified as potentially someone that could do it and has done it for Real Madrid. And as I said earlier, Sarri's quotes about saying he doesn't have any balance in his midfield. Yeah. He obviously sees Loftus-Cheek, Barkley and Kovacic being brought on either in that left-sided midfield role or as a winger. So the inability to have anyone... Kante's starting, so he never moves Kante back there. It just seems that this Barella signing would be the sort of master sub.
Yeah,
like in a sense,
he'd be number 12. You know, if you go by old school shirt numbers, you got 1 to 11, and then he's number 12, and it means he comes on for. He could fit in all three positions if need be. I think primarily, as we've said, though, he will be used as the Kante backup. But the fact that if they were chasing a game and they need to push the tempo and Jorginho maybe is not the option, then you take off Jorginho and you bring on Barella, and you obviously then lose a lot of control at the base of midfield, but then you get a lot more verticality, a lot more thrust, and you can then, you know, push things a bit more.
But one thing I would say is, as well, in terms of how he would fit into that Chelsea side, which I think is obviously why we're talking about him so much, is they're the primary targets. We're going to go on to other teams that might be interested in a minute. But the final sort of analysis of that area is that he's been capped 4 times by Italy. And Mancini compared him to World Cup winning Tardelli.
Loves a shot, just like Tardelli.
But and someone else who loved a shot that he's been compared to is Steven Gerrard, which was Gazzetta dello Sport's comparison, which may be...
I can see what they're saying.
Yeah,
I can see what they're saying.
In terms of if you were going to look at the pinnacle of what his attributes could develop into, you've got technique, vision, stamina.
Loves a tackle.
Strength, yeah. So there's that idea. But the biggest key to me of where he should play in that Chelsea team is the fact that he plays to the right of Jorginho for Italy.
I mean, there you go. That's exactly it.
Despite being capped only 4 times, 3 of them, Jorginho has played.
Yeah.
Jorginho has played at the base. And Barella has been there as his literal right-hand man.
So, you can see what the Chelsea scouts have seen. I was like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
he works. Jorginho knows him. So that's...
Yeah, he comes from a league that Sarri understands. Yeah. And probably, again, Barella, this isn't his first season in Serie A.
No.
He made his debut in 2014-15, but has made 25-plus appearances for the last 2 seasons. So Sarri would have been aware of him and what he can offer. And then now being capped, obviously, and Sarri being Italian, Mancini giving glowing reviews of him, it's clear that he's been identified as one of the top talents emerging for Italy's new generation of trying to recover from that World Cup or not making the World Cup at all. I think very much the one thing Chelsea fans should hone in on is that not only has he played with Jorginho, he's played alongside him in a role that Sarri clearly uses as well.
Yeah, I think it would make... It's a signing that makes a ton of sense. Like, people wouldn't have heard of Barella before, really. They were linked with him because he plays for Cagliari, unknown sort of player. But he's very much... I mean, you don't ever want to label someone a perfect signing, but he ticks all the boxes that Chelsea would need. And that's really all you can ask for, especially in January.
Yeah, and that's another good point, is that 45 million in January for a midfielder that, again, is playing for not the best side, capped 4 times, still very young, untapped potential.
Yeah.
If he becomes the next Steven Gerrard, then great, you've nailed it. But 45 million can quickly look very bad if you just look at Danny Drinkwater. But again, he was signed under Conte. Sarri has said he plays in a two-man midfield and only a two-man midfield, so I can't use him. Barella has been identified because he plays in three-man
plays
midfield.
Plays with Jorginho.
He's played with Jorginho, offers all of the attributes that they're looking for that extra defensive midfielder that they've identified. And someone that you almost compared him to off-air that I want to touch on now, because Chelsea are not the only club interested, it seems. As I said, they're very much the favourites to sign him. And as we've just established there, Barella ticks every box for Chelsea, and they should push forward with the deal, as he seems like a great player under Sarri and what he wants from a player. But Man United are circling, reportedly.
Reportedly.
and willing to offer the 45 million release clause. And again, I'll sort of chuck this over to you because I think you drew a great comparison there. There's someone in the Man United team that Barella is very similar to that might be running out of a contract.
So yeah, and Herrera. It's the same sort of thing. It's obviously United don't play the same kind of football, but they have a player in Ander Herrera who plays the same sort of role. He's a very sort of, a stable midfielder who passes the ball, who facilitates interplay, who loves a tackle.
Loves a tackle.
And, loves to get forward and get involved in the final third if need be. There was a couple of moments in the game against Spurs at the weekend where he had a couple of really nice forward runs. And if he'd just been supported, he would have done something.
And again, I was hoping you'd mention that as well. Because Herrera, again, under Mourinho, in which defence was the priority, became the man marker.
Yeah.
And he became the ultimate sort of ball-winning midfielder.
Hatchet man, yeah.
Whereas you forget... Someone that's brought up in the Basque region, Athletic Club, is technically brilliant. Has almost got reduced too far the wrong way to become just a sort of tackle merchant, you will.
We could go on forever about that. But
that's the thing. But comparing it to... So Herrera's played 929 minutes in the Premier League, which is okay, pretty much 10 games worth of minutes. Averaging 2.5 tackles, which is... pretty much the same as Barella, making more interceptions, which is probably because of Mourinho allowing teams
to...
Yeah, it's the way
United play.
But again, he's 1.3 dribbles per game, not fouled as much as Barella is, and fewer key passes.
Yeah.
So clearly the defensive mindset has portrayed those numbers. But if you were going to draw up of their careers, or at least Herrera at Barella's age at Bilbao, you might be seeing a closer recognition of... A closer comparison of the players that they would become.
Yeah, because I mean, Barella obviously can play further forward as an attacking midfielder. I don't think he's quite as much of an attacking player as Herrera was in the youth. But, pardon me, you can see exactly where Barella would fit in terms of replacing Herrera in the United midfield and sort of replacing Fred, although I still think Fred has a lot to offer playing at the base of midfield, but that's another discussion another day. I think you look at what, like I said, Barella fits all the boxes. He tackles, he runs hard, he shoots as well. He's willing to shoot, and that's a big thing right now. Pogba is any midfielder that may not have the willing to really let fly constantly. Mm. Shooting from range is always interesting because it always, if you can be even semi-accurate with it, you start to draw markers, and that means it opens up space for wingers.
Yeah, you don't want to be Hakim Ziyech.
No.
Seven shots outside the box every game is probably ill-advised.
Yeah,
but having someone that can, and Herrera himself has scored a few from outside the box for Man United.
If you can draw respect with your shot, so if you do it enough that people actually like, okay, he's going to shoot, let's block him. Pogba does the same thing. He has a lot of shots, but whenever he does shoot, it's like, oh, Pogba's going to shoot, get in his way. And then, and then if Pogba starts to get his head up and pick passes, he can start doing that. So, Barella, you can see it. It's not a perfect fit as Chelsea. Obviously, there's not many Italians at Man United. The one Italian there is Matteo Darmian's on the way out, probably.
He'd probably be a red flag for people making the transition.
But at the same time, it's a great club. They're playing attacking football now under Solskjaer. You'd imagine whoever the coach is that comes in the summer, if it's Solskjaer, if it's someone else, they'll play attacking football. You can see him, if it is Pochettino, he fits very much under Pochettino's kind of play. Loves to press, loves to tackle.
Well, Spurs themselves need a midfielder. It's very easy to all of a sudden link this 21-year-old to every Premier League club for a reason, but if he's being identified as this top talent, the attributes that Spurs need, obviously with Moussa Dembélé departing, perhaps not as graceful on the ball as Dembélé, and I don't think you'll ever find anyone that is.
No, it's very. Dembélé is like Iniesta if he was built like Jadon Shaqiri. It's really quite baffling.
But then stretched out like Pogba sort of thing.
It's very, 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 very unique player.
A medical marvel, Dembélé, in its sense. Well, apart from his knees and ankles and hamstrings, and that's probably why he's being sold. But you've got that player that can make tackles. And we talked about it on the actual Squawker Talker this week about Moussa Sissoko going off Spurs not having anyone to then stick to Pogba.
Exactly. And it's you can see Sissoko filling in a role that Dembélé would have done previously, and you can see Barella doing the same sort of thing with maybe perhaps a different sort of edge, not quite as dynamic a dribbler, I think, as Sissoko is, but much more loves to tackle, finishing loves to tackle, and a great shot as well. Yeah, no, but you can see Sissoko played that role for Spurs very importantly. And you can see Barella slotting into that. I mean, not he wouldn't be as dynamic a dribbler as Moussa Sissoko.
No,
but he would shoot more. He would have more of an impact in the offensive end, and you know, it would be different. But it was, yeah,
he'd be great cover for that trip, because again, Sissoko plays that very lateral role of being Kieran Trippier's dribbler, but also being his cover.
Yeah, and so, and you can see Barella playing that role very well. It's the thing. I mean, you wouldn't link him with, say, City or Liverpool or even Arsenal, because they have Torreira. But you can see with the other three big six clubs, you can see how he fits in very well. Mm. And he's got a lot of talent. And I think if Chelsea can nick in there, I thought if 45 million could be seen as a lot of money. But I think when you're betting on young talent and potential, you're buying the potential. And he's 21, 22 soon. That's a lot. That's like a lot of years of good production if you can get out of him.
And capped, and there's glowing reviews of him. There's it's not just a punt.
No, it's not a punt.
It's based off people that have knowledge of Serie A and Italian football.
Yeah, this is
identifying. And he's won Italy awards people by sort of birth year in terms of like identifying them as in their age. And he's won the 1997 award a couple of times.
Yeah.
So he's obviously identified as a top talent. But to round off the podcast, we've spoken. This is only a brief sort of scout on him. We've identified what he can bring to each of those clubs, who he's compared to. We've got the Gerrard as the pinnacle. We've got Herrera as sort of a base model level.
Yeah.
So speaking about that, the clubs that have realised, who do you think should sign him, and should they sort of push to get that done now?
I mean, I think Chelsea have got to push. They've got to do it now. Because if United actually come in for him, they'll probably be able to offer more wages probably. And you know, with Herrera dropping out, they can literally say, look, you will start. There's a space in our starting 11 for you if you come here. And Chelsea, I think he's such a perfect fit for what Chelsea in, because Sadi has such particular demands. Mm. I think it's very hard to find players that really fit his model. I think if you're Chelsea, you've got to move now. Get him secured, and get Paredes secured as well, I would add, as well, for Chelsea.
Then you have backup for every role. In the summer, you identify that left centre midfielder. Yeah,
and then you can really...
You find some goals. Yeah. They need to find some goals up front and also in that midfield role. But as I said, so Chelsea, Barella, Chelsea fans, that's all you need to know about him. Any more questions, please get in touch. Also, let us know what you thought of this Squawker Scout podcast. Make sure to subscribe to the Squawker Talker itself. Rate us, slate us, do whatever you want. Don't slate us, but this is the first episode of this. So slating is fine as long as we improve. So to round things off, just like to say, Mo, thank you for joining me on this.
My pleasure.
And look out for more Squawker Scouts in the future. Thank you.